So we started a series called God's Order in a World of Disorder. And we see that disorder in the world, in the family, in the church. And God has established order in all three of those areas of our lives. And in fact, if you want to think about it, in every moment of every day, each one of us is operating under God's order in one of these three realms. We move between them. And I'm going to share a little bit about that, how we, it's very helpful for us to discern where we are and all that. Again, this disorder that we see in the world, in the church, in the family, it's really a result of Satan, sin, and self. We see the symptoms. We see the fruit of it. But at the heart of it, we need to be under no illusions that we have an enemy. And the enemy is the devil. The devil, the world, and the flesh. And unfortunately, very often, our chief enemy is ourselves, the flesh. In Psalm 11, verse 3, we posed this last week, when the foundations are being destroyed, and sometimes that's the way that we feel about it at the moment, what can the righteous do? Well, we should use this meme. We need to keep calm. Keep calm. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And we need to trust God. We need to trust who he is, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he said, the written word. So, faith is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. In fact, as the writer of the Hebrews puts it, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so it's possible, it's impossible to please God unless we're willing to trust him. But it is possible to please God, to bless God, if we are willing to act in faith. To keep calm and to trust him. And that comes with the promise of God. We cannot bless God, for he rewards those who diligently seek him. And where does that faith come from? Well, the Bible makes it clear that in Romans 10, in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we need to stay close to God by staying close to his word. We get to know the living word through the written word. It's the word of God plus the spirit of God that causes the man, the woman of God to grow. All scripture is God-breathed, and we know this verse. And it's been given to us that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I'm clicking on a... Sorry, folks, I'm having some technical problems this morning. So we come back to God's order. Oh, pardon me. I'm operating off of two desktops here, and my timer is going on my PowerPoint. We know the song. We count on the truth of the song, because it is based on the word of God, that we have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows, and we understand those, whether personally, whether it's society and our families and our churches, whatever the case may be. Whatever the billows, we're fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Again, we know that there is nothing, Romans 8, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And Paul lists a whole bunch of things in heaven and on earth that would try to separate us, but he makes the definitive statement, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture, as we were looking at last week, makes it clear that God is a God of order. And therefore, everything, let all things be done decently and in order. Now that was written to the church. It's under church order. It's instruction for the church. But the principle of God being a God of order, and therefore things need to be done decently in order, affect every area of our life, even in the world, and even in the family. So I used this graphic last week to illustrate God's order in the world, the church, and the family, that it's founded on the living word, the written word, and it's held up by two pillar principles, is what we shared last week. Now, I want to explain how these different orders act and interact. And it does us well in the family and in the church, and especially in the family and the church. Sometimes there's confusion about who's in charge. To whom am I supposed to submit? There are those who believe that family order comes into the church, and that a father might maintain the final authority before God in the church for his family. I would suggest that as we look at the scripture, that if the family are believers, baptized, received into fellowship, they are firstly under the authority of the elders. That's just one example. I want to introduce you to some people in our assembly. There's a woman named Lorraine Powell, a brother. He's one of our oversight. Jeremy Hebert. Ryan Evans is another brother in oversight. And then Dave Powell, who is the husband of Lorraine. And you might find this interesting, that Dave and Lorraine own a realty company. It's called Powell Property Group. And Ryan and Jeremy, two of our oversight, actually work as realtors under them. And so in world order, Dave and Lorraine are the employers, and Ryan and Jeremy are under their authority. Now, same people, different circumstance, different realm, different order. In the church, Ryan and Jeremy are part of the oversight, and they are in authority in the local assembly. And Dave and Lorraine, even though they are the bosses 5 and 6 days a week of Ryan and Jeremy under world order, under church order, it's exactly the opposite. And under home order, Dave is the husband. Lorraine is the wife. Together, they're parents. They have two sons. And they're growing now. But when they were being raised, Dave and Lorraine were in authority over those sons. And when it came into issues of their marriage, the Word of God makes it clear that we should pray together and try and seek God's will to discern that as a husband and wife together in every circumstance. And we need to search the Word of God together. But at the end of the day, if we can't agree and a decision has to be made, then Dave, in this situation, is the head. And his responsibility is to provide that leadership. Lorraine, his wife, is called to submit. So the same people interacting in different areas of God's order, in different realms where he's established order. And we can see why that's an important thing. And so I share that because quite often in some church disputes, sometimes it's because people are mixing up the orders here. So one of those pillar principles that hold up God's order in the world, in the family, in the church, is authority. Now, there's so many examples of authorities in the world, the church, and the family that are actually failing us. And that's why so many people have anxiety issues. And it's reasonable very often to have fears and doubts because authorities that exist are failing us. Failing even oppressive authority is compounded by a focus and a priority given to individual rights. So sometimes this issue isn't their problem, it's our problem, our society's problem. It's a focus on me, myself, my rights, as opposed to those who would be operating in authority over us. Again, the reaction to authority actually comes naturally to us from the younger age, whether not wanting to listen to parents, freaking out in the cereal aisle, or complaining when we don't get what we want, or maybe more obviously when they get into their teens and they want to paint their bedroom black for some reason, or refuse to clean their room, or decide to quit school or date someone dangerous, or whatever the problem is. We don't teach these things to our kids. I hope we don't. We're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. And that's the way it's been from the start. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. So, when it comes to this issue of authority, there is no authority except from God. That's what it says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. The idea there, that word, actually is established by God, or in your AV, ordained by God. According to Strong, it means to arrange. He's arranged these authorities in an orderly way. And right now, there's a lot of tension with this COVID and the rules and the regulations, the ones that make sense and the ones that make absolute no sense, the ones that seem consistent with what they're saying, and then so many that seem so inconsistent. It's not easy. But this is what the Word of God has to say to us. That's in the world. So far as the church, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, again, before he goes on to the heart of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the breaking of bread, he deals with headship in the church and the issue of authority. And he wants us to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. There's where it starts. There's the example. And we're going to come back to this before we end because it has a very practical application. In Ephesians, we see God's order in the family, even in regards to children, obeying their parents. And it's interesting that the very first commandment with a promise attached to it, the promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's the wisdom of God. Now, that's the omniscient God. That's the Alpha and the Omega, the one who knows the beginning from the end. He knows where this is going to end up. He knows how this is going to go. And this is what he says to us as parents concerning our children. There's a popular writer nowadays, named Jordan Peterson. And he has the 12 rules of life or something like that. One of those rules basically says, don't raise children you yourself dislike. Does that make sense? If you don't raise them in a way that you like your children, not every moment of every day, but generally, they're not going to be liked by anybody in their school, when they graduate school, in third level education, in their place of work, whatever the case may be. And so God talks a lot about authority in his word and the good of it. Again, if the word authority makes us anxious, it could be that we don't understand that All authority that exists comes from God. It's under God. It could be that we're anxious because our eyes are more on men than on the one who is sovereign over men and the affairs of men. In Proverbs 8, he writes, "By me kings reign and rulers decree justice." In Proverbs 21, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." That's our God. That's who's really in charge. A French philosopher named Martin, no, he's not a former coach of the Ottawa Senators, but he and his wife were committed to scientism, and they became disenchanted with that. They knew that the real issues of life weren't answered by science, but they were atheists, and they actually made a pact with one another to commit suicide if they could not discover the deeper meaning to life within a year. And they got some insight, enough to that he wrote, "Authority and power are two different things." And this is what confuses us sometimes. The authorities that exist are ordained of God. Power is the force, he says, by means of which you can oblige others to obey you. Authority is the right to direct and command, to be listened to or obeyed by others. Authority requests power. Power without authority is tyranny. And quite frankly, I think what is making a lot of people, especially our ages and even those that are younger, anxious, is we're getting the sense that the authorities are taking power and that tyranny is going to result. Even the world can see some of these things coming to pass. Duane Lifkin, in his book, The Biblical View of Marital Roles, Seeking Balance, summarizes five kinds of power, authority, or influence that we as human beings are under. He lists them as information power, and that's a power and authority that we can exert, or someone can exert on us because they know something we don't. And in this whole current pandemic situation, that's a power that authorities are exerting on many of us because we presume they know more. And they actually do. But that's information power. Another kind of power that exists is when is referent power, when the recipient identifies with the source and desires to be like him. This is kind of like hero worship, and it's exerted a lot over our young people, even our children today. Do not underestimate the ability, especially if we're giving access to our children and our teens. They have the access to the internet. They live in danger of becoming focused on some other person that's going to wield some sort of power over their lives. And we need to be very careful of that. Human trafficking, the snatching of young women, teenagers, children, is based on that. Adults seeking places of authority in their lives. An example for me, when I was a child and into my teen years and playing hockey, there was someone that lived not too far from you. He wore a jersey with the number 4 on it. And at the beginning of every hockey season, the coach would pile the jerseys in the middle of the room or hang them up. And we could pick what we wanted. There was always several of us that played defense that wanted number 4. And it didn't stop there. For me, I also taped my stick with one band of tape. Now, that doesn't make sense. There's no hockey players that do that today. They tape from toe to heel. But I did it because Bobby Orr taped his stick that way. I didn't wear socks in my skates. We bought them a half a size too small, poured boiling water into them, and squeezed their feet into them because Bobby Orr did. That's what Bobby Orr did. And that's back in the days when we played outside. That's that kind of power. And we need to recognize it for what it is. Another kind of power is coercive reward power. And again, that's when the source of the authority, the power, can punish or reward behavior. There's expert power, similar to information power. It's the kind of, I guess, authority that I exert over my grandsons when I take them hunting with me or fishing with me. They're quickly catching up. My middle grandson, or the second oldest grandson, just turned 13, and he came hunting under his own license in that this year. And he got two deer with his first two shots. He shot two bullets, got two deer. That was the season over for him. I've never done that. So maybe the expert has been bypassed. But there's expert power that's exerted. And then finally, there's positional power that exists. And that's when the recipient accepts a relationship in which the source is permitted or obliged, because of his position, to prescribe behaviors for the recipient. And the recipient is obliged to accept this influence. And I would suggest that the powers, the authorities that God has ordained, that their authority is largely in this realm. And it necessitates us recognizing that it's God who appoints and ordains authority, and therefore we are going to submit to them as to the Lord. I have a brother, my brother nearest to me, who is a policeman, but he is my brother. And he was a year younger than me, and he was always smaller than me. And so there was lots of times in our lives when I exerted coercive reward power over my brother Randy. But then he became a police officer. And this never happened, but if I was speeding and he stepped out on the road and put up his hand and waved me over, I wouldn't be looking at my brother. If I did, I might blow past him. But I don't do that. And it's not because it's Randy, my brother. It's because it's Randy, the policeman. And he has positional power. And that's how, that's what a lot of us need to recognize in this world today. Positional power exists when the recipient accepts this relationship. And we've already covered that. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, we know this passage: for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. Therefore, in verse 5, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, coercive reward, but also as a matter of conscience, because God calls us to do it. Now, in this day and age, I don't know if you're familiar with the Grace Life Church in Edmonton. It's a solidly evangelical church. The pastor there, one of the pastors' name is James Coates. He was arrested last Sunday. He's going to be in jail because they won't give him bail until May when he gets his hearing. He's in jail because he has his congregation meeting all together on a Sunday. Not spaced by 6 feet, all that kind of stuff. All together there all the time. Now, this is not easy. There's a spectrum. And a lot of these things fall on that spectrum. You can go to the Grace Life website and you can listen to his sermons on this subject. And he makes a lot of very good points based on scripture. At the end of the day, it's him and the elders of that church who have decided to take the steps that they've decided. We might consider all the same scripture and decide to take a different step. again, that's where it comes down to local autonomous churches. The point is, it's not easy. It's not black and white. I would just, there's an article, a paper, written by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, on civil disobedience. And I would encourage you to go to Google that and to read that. It's very comprehensive and biblically based. And if nothing else, might give us a sense that we need to make the decision that we believe is right before God, and then also not judge those who make a different decision, considering the same truths on these matters. So that's the other part, is submission. You can't have authority without submission. Submission is the right response to positional authority. To submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, that applies to family order there, but it's a principle that exists across all the authorities. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And a very important phrase he uses there, and in all the passages that you look at in the New Testament where it talks authority and submission to authority, whether it's in the world, the church, or the family, what you find are these words, or a version of these words, in all those verses. And it's as, well, in Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord." If every authority that exists, exists because of God, then whatever those authorities are, as we submit as unto the Lord. When those authorities diverge, when the authority that is under God says to do something that is opposite to what God says, then we end up, as Peter did in the courts of Gamaliel, and we say, who are we to serve, God or man? And we choose God. This pastor, James Colts, in Edmonton, that's where he's come down on the particular action that he's taken. But we understand that, and that whole idea of submitting in the Bible, hupotasso, it's a military term relating to rank within an ordered structure and lining up under a leader. The army, probably most well known for order, and they have all kinds of ranks. And at the top of the list is a general, at the bottom is a basic private. And the fact is, this has nothing to do about who they are, their intelligence, their strength, their courage, any of that. This is simply based on their position, on their rank. There's way more privates and corporals and sergeants in the United States who have earned medals of honor, the highest award for courage, than any majors, colonels, and generals. It's positional authority. It's where we rank. There was a television series on the Second World War called Band of Brothers. And in that, there is a lieutenant named Winters and a captain over him named Sobel. But Winters is clearly the greater man. But he submits to the orders of his captain only because the captain has rank on him. And a little later on in that series, as you go through it, Captain Sobel remains a captain right to the end of the war, where Lieutenant Winters ends up being a colonel. And they meet again. And in that instance, Sobel is going to walk by Captain Winters, Colonel Winters. And he walks by him, and Colonel Winters calls him back. And he says, "You salute the rank, Captain, not the man." And so hopefully, I mean, that's an illustration, I believe, of what the Bible teaches. And it's essential to order. And sometimes when we, whether it's in the church, whether it's our kids in the family, maybe wives to their husbands, certainly in the world, we need to realize that God is a God of order. And that is for our good. And I won't go there. In Judges 21, we're running out of time. Judges 21:25, the worst time in the history of the nation of Israel was described as when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And what was that a result of? Because in those days, there was no king. No kings, no judges. People had complete authority, but no authority. And it was the worst time, whether spiritually, militarily, politically, in any way you can imagine. We need to be convinced of God's wisdom in these regards. William Hendrickson says, when grace changes the heart's submission out of the heart's submission, when grace changes the heart, submission out of fear changes to submission out of love, and true humility is born. And that's true. And this is where we have to end. The perfect example of everything we've been considering. It's not easy, but it is the way that God has established it. And the perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ. We already read the verse that because of positional authority, Christ, God is the head of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted to the Father. Were they not equal? If we believe in a triune God, they're equal. God, very God. And yet, because God is a God of order, and he wanted to accomplish our salvation, the Lord Jesus submitted himself. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. We read of how he's the example of voluntary submission. The voluntary submission. And we read that he, even though he was equal in person, three equal persons of the Godhead, he was different in function. And those are things that we need to understand as we try to live joyful lives, peaceful lives under God's purposes. In God's order, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we circle back to the beginning. The living word, the written word, the source of all authority is him. The object, the ultimate aim of submission to authority is him. And the means to accepting it and living successfully under it is also keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said this morning earlier, you read that passage that we read, that Ryan read earlier, in Matthew 26. That is the Lord Jesus Christ submitting himself to world order, to religious order. Can't go through it because we've run out of time. At the end of time, this is the verse that applies. It's not the end of Revelation. Now, when all things are made subject to him, that's the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, who is sent into the world, that he would bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, elevate Christ. When all things are made subject to him, Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. That's the Father, that God, that all together, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be all in all. And so that's where we end. God establishes authority in all these places and calls us to submit. Hebrews 2, 7 and 9, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That's today. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus. Do we understand that? That is the absolute key. Hebrews 12. The ultimate example of living by faith, after the roll call in chapter 11, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call is to look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him, the writer says, and this is for us today. Consider him, that you might not grow weary and faint. The one who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you might not grow weary and faint. So, thank you for your patience this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for this time in your word, as we were not looking at one specific passage, but that whole idea of your order in this world of disorder. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have clear in our mind the things that we should do and shouldn't do, help us as we kind of travel between different spheres of authority and responsibility, that you'll make clear to us who we should be listening to, the role that we play. For those of us that are in some kind of leadership position in different spheres, help us to take that seriously and rule wisely, as we read in your word of the elders. We think as well of those of us that are under authority and need to submit to that we would be willing to have the proper attitude to do that, and not just think of ourselves and the things that we want. We're grateful for this message and the time we spent here this morning. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.